now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. Photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to the sixth edition of Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. I will continue a discussion about the fourth dimension, which I started last week. And another theme that I began last week was the theme, the concept of taking the good with the bad, glass half full, as compared to a glass half empty. Because it seems that Pizzagate, after all, as many of us suspected from the start, was a psyop. There has been efforts for some time now to normalize pedophilia, to move the goalpost, and have all these academics and so-called expert psychologists, what have you, blow smoke about how pedophilia is an orientation. First, they try to say it was a mental disorder because people apparently that are insane cannot be held accountable for their actions. It is one school of thought. By so doing, by saying that people were mentally disturbed or mentally deranged when they committed acts of pedophilia, they can somehow avoid having to answer for their crimes, being punished. And so we've gone from describing, or they've gone from describing pedophilia as a mental disorder to now it's become an orientation. And you have these lizard people coming on, making statements in the mainstream media about how there's no proof that sex with children causes them lasting harm, etc., etc., etc. Exactly what you would expect to hear from pedos in a society for pedos, run by pedos, designed by pedos. So, by having the PSYOP limited hangout of Pizzagate, they have now been able to push two separate agendas, and probably more, but one of them is the censorship agenda, which I'll get to shortly, as well as, secondly, their long-standing goal of decriminalizing pedophilia. And there's already been talk in Europe for some time now of decriminalizing possession of child pornography and eventually using that as a stalking horse to decriminalize pedophilia. So we have to look at it from that standpoint. Again, this is the fourth dimension manifesting in our midst, normalizing that which is patently abnormal, and forcing us to expand our comfort zones to absorb that which is patently uncomfortable. It's bad enough that they've got the late-term abortions where you have a fully formed 9-month-old child kicking and squirming and screaming while it's being murdered by these abortionists. It's bad enough that children are being killed in the womb with flu vaccines, or once out of the womb being killed by other vaccines. It's bad enough that's happening, but now they're really working to promote pedophilia. And notice how the PSYOP centered around the abuse of children. We know from past experience that whenever children are harmed, we become inflamed. We get really pissed off. And that was the purpose behind false flag hoaxes like Sandy Hook. Oh, the children, the children. There were no children killed at Sandy Hook. That was fake. Completely fake. Some of those children later wound up in a Super Bowl halftime extravaganza. They didn't bother to tell the people who ran the daycare center at Oklahoma City, a federal building. They certainly didn't make an effort to evacuate the kids at the daycare center when it was destroyed by a bunch of highly sophisticated charges. Had nothing to do with the stinking manure bomb that they pinned on the patsy Timothy Lee Oswald. I get all the patsies mixed up these days. Lee Harvey McVeigh, right? It's all the same. Timothy McVeigh. No, they didn't bother telling those children. They wanted those children dead. And we cycled back to Pizzagate. A lot of us knew that this kind of thing was going on anyway. For the record, I believe, looking at those perps, looking at John Podesta's lizard face and his brother's lizard face, and seeing some of the videos that have gone viral on YouTube, for example, the horrific slowed-down version of the Gimme Pizza video featuring the MK Ultra, the Olsen twins, when they were young girls. That video has been out there for, well, since the Olsen twins have been young girls. So they've been using the pizza code word all this time. And I talked last week about how the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles loved eating pizza. Tip there, right? So this is where the twain meet. They don't mind letting you and I know that pizza is one of their code words for children from a pedophilia SRA perspective. But what they've done is they've capitalized and exploited our collective outrage at the harm being meted out to innocent children, and they rode that frequency bandwidth of rage and frustration and hostility, and they've used it to advance their own agenda, because the elite pedophiles are essentially protected species. They're on the protected species list. Oh, you'll hear about a garden variety pedo getting busted here or there, and the only reason they get busted is because none of the elite see fit to save them from being busted. But when it comes to these elite pedophile rings, nothing really seems to be done about them. Once in a while, they'll throw a low-level minion under the bus, but that's about it. And so it was very calculated, this whole Pizzagate psychodrama, to inflame our passions, piss us off. You know, we'd already been left frustrated from previous examples of like Hampstead or McMartin Preschool when there was an overabundance of evidence. You can look at the Maddie McCall case, JonBenet Ramsey. Nothing was done, right? Nothing was done in those instances, and the perps walk free. I mean, you look at the McCall parents, you look at the Ramsey parents, they're as guilty could be, but they still walked because they're part of an elite ring. And that was the price they paid in order to gain advancement in their elite circles, if you want to call it that. Small price to pay as far as they are concerned. Interesting also that around this time, in the not-too-distant past, a so-called cold case file investigation shows up as a miniseries on Netflix about the JonBenet Ramsey case. And they've got this all-star dream team of investigators and forensic specialists, and they interviewed a bunch of people that were involved in the original so-called investigation of the JonBenet Ramsey murder case. And these investigators that are now doing this cold case investigation, they're never going to delve into the SRA aspects. They're never going to delve into the mind control aspects. You can forget about that. But for whatever reason, the powers that be saw fit to put that story back in our faces. And it wasn't just because an anniversary has rolled around X number of years since the mysterious murder of JonBenet Ramsey. More recently, we have Madeleine McCall, her parents, just as guilty as sin, but they've walked. Note how there seems to be, or there was purported to be, a tie-in between Pizzagate, namely the Lizard Podesta brothers, on the one hand, and the disappearance of Madeleine McCall on the other. It must be understood that when these perps plan these things out, they create a backstory. Let me segue for a moment. 9/11 and the concept of hijacked airliners. And for the record, I don't believe any airliners were hijacked. Why complicate the operational tactical scenario when they can just say that the planes were hijacked? There were no planes at the Pentagon. There were no planes at Shanksville. Why should there have been planes at the Twin Towers? There were no fatalities at Boston. You just had a bunch of crisis actors laying around with, like, red goo stuck all over them. Only real casualties at Boston was the two Tsarev brothers, poor patsies in that case. There was no fatalities at Sandy Hook. There were no fatalities at Aurora. It was all fake. There were no fatalities at Paris. There were no fatalities at Nice. He didn't have some mad lorry driver running down people. There would have been body parts all over the place. No, it's all fake. Fake, fake, fake. And these kinds of fake terrorist incidents have been going on for decades now. This is not even anything new. But getting back to the concept of the backstory. Oh yeah, one more thing. If you don't believe me about the no planes theory, watch September Clues 9/11. This is using archival footage from the different news media from that day, 9/11, proving to my satisfaction and to the satisfaction of many others. And John Lear said from the start, John Lear was a CIA covert operations pilot. He flew all kinds of different aircraft. He said it's simply not possible to fly multi-engine jetliners through a forest of skyscrapers and hit their targets in that fashion. And forget about the Pentagon. The whole concept of that is patently absurd. If you don't believe me, just withhold your judgment. Watch September Clues 9/11. This is one of the reasons why people insist on promoting the hijack airplanes theory. Because we just have to sound credible, don't we? Oh, if we start saying there were no airplanes involved, then we sound non-credible. Well, who are you trying to sound credible to? Your sleepwalking friends and neighbors and relatives? Who gives a rat's ass what they think? Think for yourselves. Why complicate the tactical scenario? All that other stuff, all the FAA, NORAD, drills, all the extra blips on the radar screens, all the fighter squadrons being delayed and then being vectored out into the Atlantic Ocean, all that was just smoke and mirrors. What Russian intelligence calls Maskarovka, an age-old, multi-tiered, comprehensive deception operation. No more, no less. Now here's the backstory to 9/11. Was the so-called Bojinka hijacking or mastermind plan for a hijacking, which in some intelligence so-called circles was known as Bojinka. Ramzi Yosef, a longtime CIA asset, British intelligence asset, patsy, was the supposed mastermind who came up with a bright idea years ago in the early 90s. Tangos, and that's terrorist and intelligence, counterintelligence speak, tangos would go around and hijack a number of planes simultaneously and begin crashing them into landmarks which symbolized the decadent Western financial elite, i.e. the Twin Towers, i.e. the Pentagon, and all these other places. It was a backstory that was being created years before by Ramzi Yosef, or rather, the minders and handlers and mind controllers of Ramzi Yosef. Another part of that backstory was the story behind the Islamic GIA, the Algerian GIA terrorist group, Armed Islamic Group. Now, the Armed Islamic Group did pull off a hijacking. If memory serves, they forced the plane to land at Marseille Airport. And GIGN, the French Hostage Rescue Unit, one of the best in the world, by the way, pulled off a spectacular takedown of the airliner that was parked there in Marseille. And whether that was really the Armed Islamic Group or people pretending to be the Armed Islamic Group, or they just announced it was an Armed Islamic Group, whatever the case may be, that looked to me like a real hostage takedown, not something fake like the Martin Place siege in Sydney, Australia, that was completely fake. The point of relevance is that the Armed Islamic Group, according to intelligence sources, again, got to take everything they say with a grain of salt. Armed Islamic Group's plan was to hijack airplanes and crash them into symbols of French power, i.e. The Eiffel Tower and other places, the French government buildings, so on and so forth. But that was the backstory. Fast forward to 9/11. So they'd already planted that seed in the minds of people who were semi-conscious that terrorists, woo-woo terrorists, and personally I've never heard of a terrorist group that was not dangling on the strings of some shadowy black ops organization run by high finance. So that was the backstory that was created years before 9/11. The point of relevance with Pizzagate is we have all these references for many years about pizzas and in pedophilia language, pizzas refers to children as a delicacy. And even literally in some cases when you take into account the Teenage Mutant Ninja factor. So that was the backstory. That was prepping people. So when they did their own research and they'd find, holy cow, they've been referring to children as pizzas all along. And then along comes Comet Ping Pong Pizza Parlor and the affiliated sewer scum of that elite clique. And, of course, the limited hangout authorized leakage of WikiLeaks, and Julian Assange played a key role. I also alluded in the previous commentary that Julian Assange was a part of a Melbourne, Australia mind control cult. And it's a fact that not only WikiLeaks is also CIA, bogus website, but WikiLeaks and Snowden, that they routinely have leaked documents and information which advances the elite agenda, especially as regards the Middle East, where every single country they're thinking of intervening and destroying, there were WikiLeaks and or Snowden documents seemingly justifying why that was so. Webster Tarpley has talked about this a lot in the past. I don't buy everything Webster Tarpley says. He seems to have a Franklin Delano Roosevelt man crush. He seems to think that the New Deal, which was socialism / communism writ large, he seems to think the New Deal was a good thing. But Webster Tarpley is right when he says that it seems a lot of these documents leaked out by Assange in WikiLeaks and Snowden seem to advance certain elitist, globalist agendas. Key point there. Now here's where things really get insidious. I alluded earlier to the fact that there have been strenuous efforts to normalize and decriminalize pedophilia. Now these talking heads are describing pedophilia as an orientation, right? Some people are heterosexual, some people are homosexual, some people are bisexual, And some people rape and murder children, but it's just an orientation as far as these freaks are concerned. Now, you watch what happens, because that so-called comet ping-pong pizza place, and I have no doubt that there have probably been horrific evil acts at that place perpetrated against children. I don't doubt that at all. But they're just like a pawn on a chessboard. That's just a move being made by the elite. And here's the truly insidious part. Parallel to all this, a lot of crying and hand-wringing and wailing and gnashing of teeth in establishment circles about fake news sites. Oh, fake news, it is getting out of control. Fake news sites have affected the presidential elections. Fake news sites lead to people being misinformed. And who's saying this? Of course, the bought and paid for corporate media. That's like the pot calling the kettle black. And so this fake news meme has been going on. Keep in mind also that the House of Representatives just passed on November 30th, House Resolution 6393. And I love how they play the number games. Okay, 6393. Okay, you have the 6. Look at the 2 3s. Let's combine that into another 6. Look at the 9. Let's invert that, and you got another 6. So you've got House Resolution 666, Intelligence Authorization Act, and it's ostensibly aimed at, quote, Russian propaganda websites. Now, this has passed the House of Representatives, and pretty soon the Senate will rubber stamp this, and that'll be that. These types of laws cast a wide, nebulous net. It will be a stalking horse to be used against any site, any website, any alternative news website that is deemed to be hostile, is deemed to be fake news by the establishment. And remember what Walter Lippmann said. Walter Lippmann was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a member of the so-called inquiry in the so-called Paris Peace Conference. There's an oxymoron for you. After World War I, which resulted in the Versailles Treaty and the horrific, onerous, unjustified reparations meted out to Germany, which absolutely guaranteed World War II because the powers that be were intent on destroying Germany and making Germany look like the bad guys in the process. But Walter Lippmann, well, he was not only a member of the inquiry under Edward Mandel House, but later, during World War II, Walter Lippmann was a key player in a top-secret section within General Eisenhower's headquarters at Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Forces, SHAEF. And Walter Lippmann headed up a black propaganda deception operation, disinformation operation. And of course, later on, this guy becomes a highly regarded columnist for a number of big newspapers. And he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. What he said was, people think the news and the truth are the same thing, but they're not. They're two different things, right? So even when establishment bleats about these fake news sites, even the term news doesn't even make sense from a valid, truth-orientated standpoint. So now they're going after websites that are deemed to be fake news. And with this false flag hoax of a gunman walking into the Comet ping pong place with a gun and apparently threatening to cause harm there, now the media is whipped up into a mouth-foaming rage because, not surprisingly, and of course there's going to be hordes of shills out there and trolls helping this process along. But not only were people going on to the Comet Ping Pong Facebook page and website and saying unpleasant things to them, right? Unpleasant to pedophiles. Well, the way the media spins it out, that's online bullying. That's a hate crime. That's racism, right? Key point there. That is domestic terrorism. Uh-oh, gunman walks into the Comet Ping Pong place. Domestic terrorism. And so what they're going to do is they're going to say that anybody in the future who says anything negative about those with a particular orientation in which they favor young children over adults, consenting adults, i.e. pedophiles, anyone who says anything negative about pedophiles, that's tantamount, as far as the establishment is concerned, to being an online bully, to being a fomenter of hate crimes, of being a domestic terrorist. See how that works? I said earlier that pedophiles, especially elite pedophiles, are a protected species. Now, they're not just content with having all these quackademics and psychologists come out and say, oh, there's nothing abnormal or strange with, you know, an adult wanting to, you know, sadistically rape a young child. That's perfectly normal, right? There's no evidence of the child being harmed in such instances, yada, yada, yada. And it's a short leap from there, and it's a slippery slope, rather, from there to, oh, you can't say anything bad about pedophiles. You're one of those Pizzagate people, aren't you? You're one of those conspiracy theorists who get your information from fake news sites, and you become radicalized by going to these fake websites. Well, what are you thinking of next? You're going to go out and, like, blow up a pizza parlor? Or are you going to, you know, shoot up a pizza parlor that where a bunch of kids are having a pizza party, right? And it's interesting how they muck with people's minds. I've talked to people now, and it's like they don't even look at pizzas the same way. I love pizzas, big time. But people that know about this stuff, they can't even look at or think of pizzas in the same way. Because in their mind now, pizzas are equated with the abuse of little children. And see how they artfully turn everything around, where we go from, oh, pedophilia is a mental disorder, to it's an orientation, to you can't say anything about pedophiles. You're an anti-pedophiliac. I just made up a word there, right? And that will be used as a weapon. That will absolutely be used as a weapon. A word like an anti-pedophile or something like it. And people will be frightened and shamed and made to feel guilt-ridden to even think about accusing anybody of being a pedophile. Let's see how this plays out. But I feel that that's the way this is going because of their deliberate efforts at creating division, divide and conquer, thought police, social engineering, by making everything about race, by making everything about discrimination, by making everything about being offended, right? Oh, we're so offended by everything these days. But it's all just efforts at more and more control. And so I think that we're going to start to see pedophilia regarded or put into the same category. Let's see how this plays out. Very interesting how this is all starting to shape up. Anti-pedophilia will be used as not a weapon of defense, but rather a weapon of attack, much like the term anti-Semitism is used as a weapon of attack to null and void any criticism, however justified. Attack, attack, attack. That much being said, I started off this commentary talking about the fourth dimension, how we are already in it. Glass half full, take the good with the bad. David Icke said that there will come a point in time when all of this oppression, all of this draconian authoritarian rule will have to come out into the open. It'll have to manifest itself. And now it's done that. Congratulations to all of you out there. You've helped to flush them out. You've brought them out into the light of day. And that's a good thing. Now the problem is in front of you. We know what we're dealing with now. We are under no illusions as to the true nature of the beings and the consciousness or what passes for it that is working through them. We flush them out into the open, and that's a good thing. We can recognize all this and still retain our equilibrium, our inner harmony, our inner serenity, because we will need to do that as time goes on. We're going to see more and more encroachments upon our freedoms, more and more efforts at demonizing those who are speaking out. They're not just going to call them fake news sites. They're going to try to conflate anyone who dissents to the smallest degree as being a terrorist or worse. But those are all symptomatic of this transitional period we're in. The fourth dimension is a transit point. So look at it from that standpoint. Everything that's happened up till now, the greater conscious awareness of the abuse of children, the systematic institutionalized abuse of children, it's all come out into the open. And if people still refuse to look into this and take it seriously and turn a deaf ear to it, well, that's their malfunction. We've got to move on. There is a consciousness shift underway. We are experiencing a mega transformational paradigm shift. And that's a good thing. We've seen British war veterans go up to the gates of Buckingham Palace and throw down their oaths of allegiance to the crown. We've seen them take off their military hats and throw them down. We've seen them take off their medals and throw them down. We've seen American military veterans do the same thing, utterly renouncing militarism, utterly renouncing war. We've seen the veterans at Standing Rock kneel and beg for forgiveness to the Native American elders. What an amazing scene that was. Heartwarming, moving, powerful, uplifting, empowering. So we have to take the good with the bad. And I'm not going to spit out all this good, throw it all out with the bathwater. And look what we did at, and we collectively, all of us, this consciousness shift, we are all a part of it. The Maoris in New Zealand giving their haka dance in solidarity with the people, not just the Native Americans, but people from all walks of life, all colors, all ethnicities, all backgrounds at Standing Rock. And the Aboriginals in Australia are going through similar challenges. The powers that be want to build pipelines through their sacred land. So this is going on all over the world where the rights of native peoples are being trampled upon by these merciless corporations. We're seeing solidarity all across the board. We're seeing hope. We're seeing unity. There's always going to be that element that is mind-controlled, whether it's from the standpoint of the new age, where they're just all blissed out and don't want to see anything of a negative nature because they choose to not make that part of their reality, blah, 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 quack, quack, quack. And then you have the people, the TV news zombies, the TV news droolers who insist on being mind-controlled and staying mind-controlled. And I spoke in last week's commentaries about the clear separation between those that are awakened, even newly awakened, are separating the wheat from the chaff, the oil separating from the water. And isn't that apt? Because that's what it was all about in Standing Rock, water. And we are made up of water in large part. And we can change our molecular composition, we can change our DNA simply by thought, simply by feeling, simply by affirmations. And people all over the world, independently and in small cells and in large groups, each in their own way, at different levels, in different areas of responsibility, have all contributed to make a huge difference. Even Sasquatch is reaching out to us, folks. Sasquatch, the generic term for our large, hairy, older brothers and older sisters. In reality, they are, in many ways, our elders. They are caretakers of the earth. They are caretakers of Mother Nature. And they have taken it upon themselves to reach out at this time, build bridges with those of the right vibration, with those who operate from their heart center, and are teaching people and building bridges with them and reminding them that time is running out. We either have to make some changes and carry this consciousness shift to the proper logical conclusion, or we take what's coming. And we just become a bystander and watch everything just come apart at the seams. I was just told by Mike Patterson in a wonderful pre-recorded interview I did with him. Can't wait till you all listen to that. Mike Patterson has been in comms with Sasquatch groups for some time now. And someone he knows who also had a Sasquatch experience, that particular Sasquatch told his friend, gave him a future vision of what will happen if we don't get our act together. And I've heard this before. The Sasquatch made it clear in this future vision to this individual that if we don't get our act together, in the future, humanity will be nothing more than cyborgs, automatons, brain-dead zombies, automatons and slaves. What's interesting is my mentor, Barbara Bartholik, was trained in hypnotherapy, hypnotism, by a world-class hypnotherapist. And long before Chet Snow began doing this, this individual, this psychologist, I believe he was, who trained my mentor, Barbara Bartholik, in hypnotherapy, he started entirely on his own doing future progressions, i.e., hypnotizing people and progressing them forward into a future incarnation. And time after time, many of these people that he projected into the future described a future as essentially a cyborg. The people, what was left of them, were herded into big glass domes. They were just smart enough to operate the machinery and the computers and the technology. They all had this flatness of effect, blank face look to them. And what was particularly troubling to Barbie when her mentor related this to her, his findings after future progressing many people, it was not a small sample size, okay? I want to make that clear. It was not a small sample size. That not only were the people zombied out and basically servile, obedient automatons, but there was not even any laughter anymore. There was no longer any manifestations of joy, of happiness, of spontaneity. No more laughter. All that had been drummed out. And here we are, many years down the track, decades down the track, and a Sasquatch is showing one of Mike Patterson's friends the very same possible future scenario. Now, nothing is written in stone. We don't have to allow this to happen. We are in the midst of an important epical consciousness shift, a transformational consciousness shift. And again, we have to ride that frequency wave. Think about how humbling it was, but at the same time, empowering for all present. It was moving for me when I watched the veterans at Standing Rock kneel down and beg forgiveness from the Native American elders. What a powerful, moving moment that was. And it shows the nature of the shift in consciousness, because the consciousness of the Draco reptilian overlords who would presume to rule this planet, and actually, for all intents and purposes up to this point, have ruled this planet, working through all their hybrid minions. The only kind of true emotions they can manifest are ones of rage, resentment, jealousy, bitterness, lower vibrational, essentially disempowering emotions, energy in motion, emotions. They don't know what real joy is. They don't know what real happiness is, fulfillment, serenity, inner peace. They don't have the capacity for that. And as I've said before, I'll say it again, this frequency shift, this consciousness shift is going to slam into these dense, lower vibrational people and entities of all stripes. It's going to bowl over them like a bowling ball smashing through 10 pins. They will not be able to cope. In fact, this energetic shift is going to make them even more crazy and more psychopathic than they already are, which is actually a good thing, because then they will begin to make more and more mistakes. And make no mistake about it, the would-be controllers, whether they're hybrid minions, basically empty shell minions, all the way up to the non-human intelligences at work, who work through and manipulate all their hybrid minions. They've all been making mistakes. And as I've said before in previous commentaries, they keep vainly trying to alter the timeline to fix things in exactly the way they want to have it come out, because they are control freaks. Perish the thought, from their standpoint, that events will just take on a life of their own and they have little or no say in the matter. No, they keep trying to muck around with the timeline. They keep trying to change things in a way which they feel suits their agenda. You have a dichotomy at work here. You have one possible outcome where the world would be a vastly different place. Another thing also is, not only did I mention that in the future progressions, these people will be living under glass domes, but outside of the glass domes, and it's obvious why they were in glass domes, outside the glass domes, the planet was thoroughly polluted. The planet was toxic. It was essentially a dead place outside. The air was not even fit to breathe. So that is one possible future outcome. And on the other hand, the other side of this dichotomy, the reptilian overlords, the various ET groups that operate within the reptilian sphere of influence, those that have been manipulating the time, they're desperate. They keep trying to alter the timeline. They keep trying to alter it in a way that benefits them. Maybe that outcome I just described to you, where people are automatons and live in dome cities. Maybe that's what they keep trying to shift it back to, get it back on course from their perspective. But they keep failing. So keep all this in mind. This is good news. Every time you see them make another bold move, it's not so much they're shooting for all the marbles. Yes, that's true. And it's not so much that they're doing their darndest to control us, depopulate us, and everything else. But you have to look at it from their perspective, although they will never admit it because they're so ego-driven and narcissistic. Everything they do smacks of desperation, folks. Everything. Even this whole Pizzagate psyop. It smacks of desperation. And as they become more desperate, they will make more mistakes. We keep calling them out with their false flag hoaxes. We keep calling them out on all of their muck-ups and mistakes. It's to the point now where they don't care if they are caught. And that itself is a sign of their sloppiness. That in itself is a sign of their haste and a sign of their confusion and panic and desperation. And these are good things, folks. Think about it. We're in the midst of a consciousness paradigm shift, and that can only benefit us. And it's not going to benefit those of a dense, lower vibration. That is for sure. Sun Tzu was a Chinese military strategist who died in 496 BC. Keep in mind, this is well over 100 years before Alexander the Great, and well over 400 years thereabouts before Julius Caesar came along. This is Sun Tzu, who wrote a classic called The Art of War. What's interesting is The Art of War is considered to be offensive, terroristic material, according to the powers that be. But on the other hand, The Art of War is required reading at the John F. Kennedy Unconventional Warfare Center at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where U.S. Army Special Forces are trained. It is considered essential reading, The Art of War. Basically illegal for anyone else, but when they need their pupils to learn the art of war so they can go and destabilize other countries and create chaos and create all kinds of problems for other countries, they make them read this book. And this book is an all-time classic. And the reason that I'm bringing it up now is Sun Tzu understood that weakness is only a perception. He said something to the effect that your greatest weakness is also your greatest strength. And for a lot of Europeans, a lot of Americans who have kind of an issue with mental rigidity, they just think, oh, it's that inscrutable Oriental mindset again. What do you mean your greatest weakness is your greatest strength? Well, Sun Tzu was thinking in more expansive terms than in simply linear terms. So keep that in mind, that this is essential reading as far as U.S. Army Special Forces are concerned. I will read you a number of his quotes because I think it is a good time to understand them and see where Sun Tzu was coming from 2,500 years ago. Because what he is saying, or was saying, very much fits into our current paradigm. The paradigm I've been talking about, this transitional consciousness shift, where it seems that we are the ones behind the eight ball. We are the ones that are up against insurmountable odds. We are the ones that are no-hopers, and the best we can hope for is destitution, poverty, enslavement. But that's not the case. That is merely a perception. That is like docility. That is passivity. That is an over-reliance on fluoridated water. So let me read you a few quotes, several quotes from Sun Tzu. And remember, this guy wrote this about 2,500 years ago. Know thyself, know thy enemy, 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. I'll repeat that. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Pretend inferiority and encourage his arrogance. Pretend inferiority and encourage his arrogance. Know your enemy and know yourself, and you can fight 100 battles without disaster. And we've been told over and over by the mystic sages and seers, down through the ages, know thyself, know thyself, know thyself. It is absolutely key. Here's another one. If your opponent is of choleric temper, irritate him. I'll repeat that. If your opponent is of choleric temper, irritate him. That's what I've been saying. That these hybrid minions of the reptilians, they are starting to lose the plot. They're starting to get amped up on fear, rage, and everything else on top of their fear and rage that's been genetically imbued into them. So now they're just coming apart at the seams due to rage and arrogance and everything else. I like this one. This is a really good one. Be so subtle that you're invisible. Be so mysterious that you're intangible. Then you will control your rival's fate. Bruce Lee talks about this also. Be formless. Be like water. I talked earlier about water and its many properties. Sun Tzu said, be so subtle that you're invisible. Be so mysterious that you're intangible. Then you will control your rival's fate. Here's another one. When I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. Yet another one. In the midst of chaos, there is also opportunity. In the midst of chaos, there is also opportunity. If you are far from the enemy, make him believe you are near. If you are far from the enemy, make him believe you are near. And here is a very good one. He will win who knows when to fight and when not to fight. Opportunities multiply as they are seized. So I've read a number of these to you to reinforce the message that what they, the would-be controllers, would perceive as our collective weakness. We're just useless eaters. That we are weak, that we are inferior, that we are stupid. Let them go on thinking that. Let them feel that we are impotent. Let them feel that we are powerless. Encourage them in their arrogance. If they're in rage mode, encourage them to be more rage-filled, rageful. All those things benefit us in the long run. Time is running out. Time is ticking on them. The fundamental conscience are changing. As I've said many times before, normally stable elements are manifesting rapid decay. That means we're becoming more energetic. We're becoming lighter, while they're becoming denser. That's a key point. I'll finish up this segment of the commentaries with some comments about our website, the Cosmic Switchboard, the podcast, etc. In the short existence of the Cosmic Switchboard, we have come under a lot of attack. We've come under a lot of interference. There have been efforts made to discourage people from signing up, and there have been efforts to make it difficult for current members to log on, and these attacks are not coming only from the surface world. We've identified some of the telecom data centers where these attacks are coming from, but they're coming from, let's say, interdimensional and extraterrestrial sources, and I hereby proclaim that our website, the Cosmic Switchboard, is ours. It is mine. And it, the Cosmic Switchboard, is an entity and intelligence and a sovereign being unto itself and is inviolate. And we and I and the Cosmic Switchboard website itself reject any notion of any claim upon the sovereignty of the Cosmic Switchboard website. We reject and rebuke any notion that it is under the control of any other power. The Cosmic Switchboard website is an entity, it is a consciousness, it is a force for good. And it categorically rebukes, I categorically rebuke, and the people that I work with categorically rebuke any pretensions or claim to the Cosmic Switchboard website. We will grow, we will expand, and all of their feeble efforts will come to naught. So those of you that are members, thank you for your patience, thank you for your support, thank you for your encouragement. Those of you that may have tried to sign up in the past, but for whatever reason you could not, please sign up again. Contact us at the Cosmic Switchboard website and contact us directly if you have any questions. Thank you for listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars.